Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to a Monday edition of Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Got something you'd like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose? Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. This month we're going to be talking about resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what that event, that singular event, means to you and me. Not only our hope of eternal life, but also what does it mean to us here and now? There's a power that's available to us, that resurrection power, and if we can learn how to tap into it, so to speak, and our lives can be so much different. We can raise our expectation level as far as our Christian life is concerned. So this is such a significant event, a significant historical event. Everything in Christianity hinges on this one event being true, but everything in our own Christian lives, our everyday practical living out of this good news story hinges on this event as well. So we need to learn what the Word of God has to say about resurrection, how we can live in that power of resurrection each and every day. And we have a wonderful resource this month that will teach you how to do that. And we certainly want to put that into your hands, and it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. When you go to basicgospel.net and click that donate link, be sure and request your copy of this wonderful CD series on resurrection power. Today I want to start in Matthew chapter 16. And for us to really tap into resurrection power, our minds have to really grasp the fact that Jesus was actually raised from the dead just as he prophesied, just as he said what was going to happen. And oftentimes that's where we fall short. We announce the words. We say we believe these things, but deep within us, we really don't believe it to be true. Now, we're going to start in Matthew 16, verse 21, and we're going to look how this unfolds in the Bible. So from the time Jesus began to show his disciples. So he had just asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and boldly declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So he answered correctly. And Jesus said, "Wow, that's not from human thinking. Nobody's revealed that to you except my Father who is in heaven." So this was revealed truth to Peter. And he received it. Now he goes on to say, "All right, now that you've gotten that right, let's see what you're going to do with this one, guys." So he says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." So here's the gospel story. Here's what was going to happen to Jesus, but he was going to Jerusalem for this exact thing to happen to him. He had come into this world for this very moment. Why? Because through his death, burial, and resurrection, he was going to secure salvation for all who would believe in his name. So this is an important event, and he is the anointed one. He is the one God sent to carry out this particular plan. So he is very clear. He was very direct. There wasn't a lot of mystery to what he said. He didn't say this in parable form. He just laid it out here. Here's what's going to happen to me, guys. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer and be killed and on the third day be raised. That's the story. So here's what Peter said. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, who in the world rebukes the Lord? Who in the world rebukes God in human flesh? Peter does. Yeah. That's who. And there's a lot of us that would fit Peter's role as well. we would say, oh, no, Lord, this will never happen to you. And that's what he said. This shall never happen to you. Well, what part, Peter? His death, his suffering, or his resurrection? What part is not going to happen to you? Well, here's what Jesus had to say. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Well, resurrection isn't a part of human thinking. If there's a problem and we're trying to figure it out, resurrection isn't going to be a part of that solution. It's not going to be something that we bring to the table. Why? Because it's beyond our capacity as far as thinking is concerned, and especially when we're just seeing things from a human perspective, not a godly perspective. So resurrection just did not enter into the mind of Peter. And he probably got stuck on the fact that he was going to suffer and die. His Lord wasn't going to suffer and die, but he probably never heard the fact that Jesus said, I'm going to be raised on that third day. Now, this is something that we need to really address. This is kind of the elephant in the room, I think, in most Christian circles. We declare through our creeds, through our belief system, that we believe that Jesus was raised on the third day. Do we? Do we really believe that? And if we do really believe that, I think that's going to change everything for us. But we're weak. I mean, you look out there at the church today. It's a weak church. It has no power. It's being pushed around and tossed around and all of these things. Why? Because I don't think we've fully settled in our mind that Jesus actually came out of that grave, that Jesus is alive today, that Jesus' resurrection means that we have been raised to walk in the newness of life and that we have the resurrected Christ living in us. If we fully believe that, oh my goodness, the power that the church could exert out there in the world today would just be mind-boggling. So let's get this right. Let's not be like Peter was at this particular moment in time, doubting and actually saying, oh no, Lord, this will never happen to you. Let's really come to grips with the fact that Jesus was raised on the third day, and that resurrection power resides in us.
Wow, that's strong. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
And friends, if you'd like to come in and be a part of the conversation on this edition of Basic Gospel, we want you to do just that. Give us a call at 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Now, Bob mentioned at the outset of the broadcast that we have a new resource for you this month as you make your gift to Basic Gospel. It's called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. And I think Bob gave us a wonderful overview of what this particular CD series is all about. So we want you to have one, and it will come with your gift, of course, this month to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net or phone a gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to San Diego and talk with Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you today?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call. As long as I've known you fellows, I still get nervous.
No need for that.
But I'm afraid my question are sometimes redundant or not too bright. But anyway, I'm calling about 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 11 through the end of the chapter. At our Bible study, we came across a commentary by a very well-known Bible teacher who said that all of these, starting with 11, were a series of 22 commandments for Christians. And I guess my question is, does it matter that he says they're commandments? I mean, for me, they're exhortations, teachings, and he he was talking to Gentiles, I'm assuming. So they needed to know this, and we need to know it. But as far as being commandments, does it matter?
Well, the
cause them that?
I don't know that it matters totally, except for the fact that these can become the new law that we're to follow, and it's left up to us to follow them using human effort, human wisdom, and those sort of things. If we understand what Paul is saying as far as what's going to happen, that Jesus Christ is going to return and that we're going to be with him forever, when we understand that, when we see somebody that is down, somebody that is doubting, somebody that may be confused, then our knowledge of the truth can compel us to encourage one another and build each other up. I mean, in this world in which we live in today, we're getting bombarded all the time, and it's easy to get discouraged, and then we have our own inner voices speaking to us, sometimes words of doubt. It's that accuser that's doing his work as well. So it's easy for us to get down. It's easy for us to be discouraged in this world in which we live. And sometimes we look around and think, how much longer are we going to have to endure? How much longer are we going to have to be suffering in this world? How much longer are we going to be the brunt of the philosophical jokes and those sort of things? How much longer? And as we get down and discouraged, you know, people knowing this truth can encourage and can build us up. So this is just an outflow of this truth that we know in Christ, this truth of the gospel.
Absolutely.
So I think that's important for us to understand, that this isn't, you know, God isn't saying, here's the 22 things that you need to do, and I'm going to be up there judging every single one of you based on right. how well you're living out these 22 commands, so to speak.
Just these 22?
Right.
What about the rest of them?
Right. That's exactly right.
All,
so,
yeah.
So, and it all gets down to, Lucy, this idea, you know, of what are the commands. John wrote in 1 John 3:23, the commands are simple. Mm-hmm. It's to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love others. Well, all of these in this particular section of 1 Thessalonians fall into that loving one another command. So as we are abiding, living in Christ, then we can know that Christ is going to be producing these attitudes in and through us.
Right. That was my take on it. And the word commandment sometimes evokes, well, here's something else I'm going to fail at.
Yes, you know? That's right.
Well, that's the point. The word commandment by itself is neither here nor there, because these, you know, they're probably in the form of a command. Okay, call them a commandment. What gets us is when we look at them and there's an implied or else. That's the threat. Mm-hmm. And when we accept that threat as our own, now we're living in fear, and we need God's perfect love in Christ to destroy that
right.
fear.
Yes.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I agree wholeheartedly with you. But it came up in a Bible study, and I wanted to clarify it in my own mind so that I could, you know, share what you just said in a cogent manner. And I thought I did, but it always helps to hear from you fellows.
You're well, thank you, Lucy. Thank you.
You always encourage me and teach me.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lucy. Thanks. So, thanks for
thank
your
you.
Call, and thanks for the great great question. We sure appreciate it. And remember, it always gets down to context. Context, context,
right.
context.
Right.
So when you see that Paul is writing to encourage based on what was going on in that day for those particular believers and their hope, he was saying, hey, we all need some encouragement, so let's be a part of that. Mm-hmm. That's one way that we can genuinely love one another, is by encouraging one another.
Thanks, Lucy. Great to hear from you, as always.
Thank you for the basic gospel book.
Hey, you're so welcome, Lucy.
I'm sorry,
we love that resource, the basic gospel book.
Yeah.
It is just scriptures, you know, looking at the key truths that we need to know. I wrote a little introduction to it, and I'm so glad that you are enjoying that. So thank you for saying that.
I am, and I'm going to start saving my money because I'm going to buy more to share.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you. Love you all.
Well, you too.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, we invite you to join the live Basic Gospel video stream every day, either on Facebook or YouTube. Come on in and see what goes on inside the studio. We have a call that came in overnight. Let's listen to this one.
Hey, Bob. This is my first call. I was reading Proverbs 25:25, and it says, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. And I wanted your interpretation of that. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I think we've gotten some great news from a distant land called the gospel. It comes from above. It's not something that's earthly. So when this gospel hits our hearts, it's like a wonderful drink of cold water on a hot day. It really quenches these parched souls of ours. So I think the ultimate interpretation of that particular verse in Proverbs is the fact that it's foreshadowing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's been announced to us. And it's come from a foreign place. It's come from above. And we see that time and time again in the gospel accounts, don't we, Richard? The fact that Jesus came from above, that he's not of this world.
Yes.
And he heralds this good news in the realm of darkness. He's come to rescue us from that realm of darkness so that we could be transferred to the kingdom of light. So that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we have a couple of questions that are coming into us on our YouTube channel. Julie is asking about the dead in Christ. She writes, the dead in Christ will rise again, but so will the dead outside of Christ, and then the judgment. So what do you think? So that's true. All are going to be raised, and there is going to be a judgment. There's the white throne judgment, and that is the judgment of those who have rejected Christ. Mm-hmm. We're going to be raised, and we're going to receive a resurrection body, but that's not going to be the case for those who have rejected Christ, is it, Richard?
No, not at all. And there's nothing to fear here. That's usually the case, right? Well, I know I'm going to be raised, but I'm going to be raised one of the bad people or one of the good people. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ, period, end of story. And you are raised to sit with him in glory, to meet him as he is, and to be transformed into something that we can't describe, but which is going to be wonderful. That is completely different than when the sea gives up the dead in it, and death and Hades give up the dead in them, and all these dead people are walking in front of the white throne, and God says, let's see, is your name in the book of life? There's no context there about how did you behave. The only context is, are you dead or alive? Spiritually dead or spiritually alive? And if you're still spiritually dead, you just are finished and go to hell.
That's
separated
exactly
forever
right.
From
so,
God.
As Hebrews 9:27 says, you know, we're destined to die once, and then comes judgment. Well, that's what this is all about. So all are going to be raised. God's going to call us all out, so to speak. Those of us who are in Christ, we're going to receive resurrected bodies. We're going to be with the Lord forever. Those who are outside of Christ, they're going to get their eternal judgment, and eternal death is what their destiny will be. So, Julie, thanks for that question on our YouTube channel. We appreciate it.
We appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners, who write to us or call us or send us a message through YouTube or Facebook. However you're hearing the broadcast, we're glad that you are. Did you have another one, Bob?
Well, we also had Wayne that is asking for prayer, so we're going to mention that to our listeners as well. Wayne is asking for prayer, so if you are so inclined, lift up our brother Wayne, and he knows the situation. God knows that situation, and Wayne, I think, needs some encouragement. So the prayers of those listening in Basic Gospel Nation will be of great support, a great encouragement to him.
Absolutely. Well, we had this call that came in over the weekend. This is from Daryl. Let's listen.
Yes, hello. This is Daryl. What happened to Christ between his crucifixion and resurrection? Did he actually go to hell, or who did he preach to? Were those people on earth or in heaven or hell? God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, Daryl, thank you for that. There is some teaching that yes. out there that says Jesus had to go to hell, that he had to beat Satan in hell, become victorious over Satan, and that's when that happened. But we don't see that in the Word of God, do we, Richard?
No, we don't. The Bible talks about the lower earthly regions, and you can interpret that several different ways. The fact is, at the moment Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, the entire sin problem had been defeated. And he hands his spirit to the Father, and he dies. If Jesus went to hell, all he did was say to Satan, "You're done," and walk away.
But we have nothing in the Word of God that suggests that.
And
yes.
So there's, again, nothing to fear here. Jesus was victorious. He was raised back from the dead. Think about this. I mean, put it in the context. If Jesus became sin for us on the cross, there is no way he should have been able to have been raised because he became sin. But he was victorious over sin because he himself was never sinful.
Right.
Therefore, there was no hell to go to. There was nothing but victory, and so he comes out of the tomb utterly victorious, and literally that means nothing but good news for people who follow
right.
him.
And Paul wrote this in his letter to the Colossians. He said, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him."
Yeah.
So this all took place at the cross of Jesus Christ. There is some speculation that between the death and the resurrection that he would have gone and announced the victory to the saints of old, who would have said to them, "It is finished," and he would have led them in this majestic procession into paradise. As he said to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." There was a lot of other saints of old waiting for this moment, and they too were going to be with Jesus in paradise. So there's some speculation based on a couple of passages, 1 Peter chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 4, that Jesus would have made that announcement, "It is finished," and led those into his very presence.
Yes. Yeah. And that was foretold in Malachi.
Yes.
Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and more people, guys, are using our off-air, off-hours system, and we encourage you to do that. If you don't hear the live broadcast or can't get to us while we're actually in the air live and to pose your question, you can give us a call anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We'd like to address your question or your particular comment here at Basic Gospel. Well, friends, as we said earlier, we have a new and exciting resource to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel in the month of March. It's called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, and it's our way of saying thank you for your gift this month. The resurrection of Christ Jesus, of course, is the single most significant event in human history. All of Christianity rests on its veracity. As you listen to this message by Bob Christopher, you'll discover that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is there for you to instill hope and anchor your soul to the amazing love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Please make your gift now if you can, and I will send you a copy of The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Simply click donate at basicgospel.net or give by phone at 844-322-2742. Either way, we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel with the best news this world is ever going to hear. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be with us again tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.